fasten your seatbelts and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Rick Ryer, pinch hitting this week on Route 51, where the road takes us back to a time when baseball games were big social events of the summer in communities throughout central Wisconsin, when every town seemed to have a team and games ended with a picnic on the grass. Sandlot games and playground leagues started up while Little League making its debut in the Wausau area in 1953, giving youngsters a platform to search for their own field of dreams. Our journey today will take us right through the present, focusing on Little League, American Legion baseball, amateur baseball, and where the sport continues to be played for pride, bragging rights, and for the simple love of the game. We're joined today by Elmer Allen. Elmer started playing baseball in the 40s, or even earlier. We'll find out more about that today. When parents and teachers started the Playground League at Wausau Area Elementary Schools, he played in the very first Wausau Area Little League season on the JC's team. Later, he played for Wausau High School and is now an umpire in the Dairyland League, one of six amateur leagues comprising the Wisconsin Baseball Association. Also with us are Jamie and Ryan Schaefer, father and son, who have spent many years together on the diamond. Baseball history runs deep in their family. Jamie grew up on a dairy farm, a family dairy farm near Abbotsford, graduated from Colby High School and UW Eau Claire. Professionally, he's the chief operating officer at Reuter Ware Law Firm. He's coached youth baseball for 15 years and has served on the board of directors of Wausau Youth Baseball and Softball since 2000. Jamie and his wife, Diane, have watched their three sons play the game from T-ball right through high school. Ryan is a graduate of Wausau West and UW Eau Claire as well. Now he teaches 6th grade math at John Muir Middle School, where he coaches 8th grade basketball. He also coaches freshman baseball at Wausau West. His baseball career began with T-ball and progressed through Little League, Legion Ball, and now with the Wausau Riverhawks, where he's a player and co-manager. The Riverhawks play in the 11-team Dairyland League. We also will be taking your calls. Were you or are you a player, coach, parent, or fan? Do you have a story to share about baseball in North Central Wisconsin? You can call us at 800-780-9742. That's 800-780-9742. You can also join us on Facebook and leave a comment at Route 51 Show. Elmer, Jamie, Ryan, thanks for joining us today. I'd like to start talking with you, Elmer. I know I alluded to in the introduction that you started playing in the 40s. Tell us a little bit about how you first started the game, when it was, where it was, and we can just take this conversation from there.
Well, thanks for having us here, Rick. We appreciate it. Yeah, I started in the, you're probably right, in the late 40s. I was born in 1941, and we lived in Wausau. In fact, right below Athletic Park, about a block away, so I constantly went to all the minor league games as a kid. And of course, we always had big neighborhoods of boys, and we played ball from morning till night and probably ran home for a bologna sandwich at lunchtime and back to it. And then in 1953, Wausau had their first organized Little League. And I was 12 years old, and I was fortunate to be able to play 1 year on Little League. And I can still remember the thrill of getting your uniform. I mean, we were all poor kids, basically, and I probably kept that uniform on for at least probably 2 days before I took it off. So, yeah, that's where I pretty much got started with my baseball, and everything just kind of spiraled upward after that.
Something about that uniform, I can remember that as well. Tell us a little bit about the leagues and that you played in through the years that you've been playing ball, and where they started and how they started and where they are today, if they are still around.
Well, I started when I got out of the Marine Corps in 1963. I got hooked up with the Wausau baseball team, and we played in the old Wisconsin Valley League, which at the time consisted of Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, Wausau, and Auburndale. Well, after that first year, that went defunct. So our manager at the time got us into the Marathon County Baseball League. You had teams like Marathon, Edgar, Fenwood had a team, and it was all Marathon County cities that had teams. And it lasted about 2 years there, and that went down. And then we got involved in the Clover Belt League, which was Greenwood Loyal out the western part of the state. And we played in there till about 1973. And then Wausau folded their local baseball team, and the league kind of went after that. And then I got hooked up umpiring in the Dairyland League, and I've been doing it ever since. So,
well, when you were growing up playing the game, first starting in Little League in 1953, do you recall, and going through the years, do you recall how the adults playing the game at their level, you know, how that was entrenched in the communities, that especially Wausau and Central Wisconsin?
Well, we never drew a lot of fans when I played with the old Wausau. We were called the Wausau Barons. We always had, I was fortunate to play on good baseball teams. But we never drew a lot of fans, but we'd go out of town. The little towns were the hotbeds. I mean, it was not unusual to have 200 fans at some of them games, you know. And of course, us being from Wausau, we were the bigger city. We were like, boy, kill Wausau, you know. So we were always basically the underdogs, and we pretty much whomped everybody through the years, but that's just the way it was.
I think sometimes it's still that way.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Ryan can attest to that.
Every once in a while, yeah, it happens that way.
Jamie and Ryan, I do want to hear your individual stories in just a bit, but first I want you to react to the following statement that was written in the 2003 Wausau Youth Baseball 50th Anniversary book that you provided, and I appreciate that. And it was written by then-umpire-in-chief Max Stella, and this is what Max wrote. He said, "Everything I needed to know, I learned in Little League. Put others' needs first, play fair, obey the rules, respect those in authority, be on time. Share the glory, but also shoulder the blame when necessary. Try and fail, and try again. Mistakes will happen. You must learn not to repeat them. Practice makes perfect. If you think you can, you will. Celebrate success, forget setbacks, think before you act. And sometimes a good cry is the only thing that works. In baseball, you win some, you lose some. Some get rained out, but you have to prepare for them all. For the game of life, there is not a better preparation than Little League Baseball." Is that message still heard today?
I think it is. I had kind of a different path through Little League than my boys had. Growing up, I never had an opportunity to play Little League Baseball because it wasn't available to me, so I played a lot of slow-pitch softball, and the high school I went to didn't even have a baseball team. And while I think we'll talk about it later, my family had a deep history with baseball, I personally didn't have that. So when we had young children, as Ryan was getting into T-ball, I decided to get involved as a coach, eventually joined the board of the local baseball organization. But I had to learn all those things that you just read. And it wasn't that easy sometimes, yeah. And it's difficult on the baseball field. But I do agree with those comments. Baseball teaches you a lot about life. I apply a lot of those things you just said just now at work every day. So I think that is a very good quote, and it's very applicable.
Ryan?
You don't really think about all of those things that Max said in that quote until you hear it. But I believe that I learned almost every one of those things from Little League Baseball and playing throughout. And it was a big plus that I had my dad coaching. And he was able to keep me calm most of the time. And I know we have pictures at home of us standing on the baseline when I was pitching and he was coaching. And me kind of looking off into the distance like, yeah, what are you talking about? But I know he was always right, and he was always trying to instill those things in me as well.
Wait a minute, so. I have to correct him. I think it was him keeping me calm. Just to set the record straight here.
Yeah.
How are you applying that in your coaching today?
Well, I just want to make sure the kids are playing the right way. And I have a great coach that coaches with me. I'm his assistant coach, Dave Klug. Mm-hmm. He's been coaching for 20-plus years at Wausau West for baseball. And we just try to play the right way, and we want our kids to have fun, but also learn some things as well. And really, at the freshman level, we're preparing them to become varsity players. So we're really working on the fundamental skills, but also we want them to learn exactly what Max was saying there. We want them to make mistakes. When they do make mistakes, we want them to learn from those mistakes and make sure that we can do it right the next time.
Ryan, how has the game of baseball brought your family together?
Well, it's simple. Right now, Tyler, my middle brother, and Dustin, my youngest brother, we all get to play together now. And we have some common ground that we had before, but not as close as it is now. When we were younger, we were all playing in different places. And some days, Mom and Dad would come to my game, or Mom would come to my game, and Dad would go to Tyler or Dusty's, or it was tough. And now that we're all playing on the same team, they can come to one game and watch us all play. So it's brought us closer, definitely.
It's hard to describe the satisfaction that you feel seeing all three boys play on the field at the same time. It's not only easier from a scheduling perspective, but just to see them play on the field together, it's really a lot of fun. It's very satisfying as a parent.
What was the effect? Was it easy being a coach and a son, father and son on the team? Was that easy having your dad as a coach or vice versa?
At times it was difficult because we clashed a little bit, but I think I wouldn't have had it any other way. I think I learned a lot more from Little League, and I think I enjoyed the sport a lot more having my dad as a coach and just having him there at all times.
Mm-hmm. As a coach, it's kind of tough because you want to hold your children to a higher standard. You don't want to ever play favorites or anything like that, and you expect more out of your kids. You see them play in the backyard, and you kind of know what they're capable of. So it's kind of tough to dial it back a little bit because you do try to hold them to a higher standard, but that's really not fair to the player either. So at times it can be very tough to be a coach and a parent. Mm-hmm. Very tough.
I've had some of Ryan's varsity or JV games that he coaches over at Wausau West, and let me tell you, he does a wonderful job. The kids having fun. You don't always see that at that level, but he does a great job. And I was talking earlier with you before the show went on about the dad having pride with the three kids out there. As an umpire, sometimes I look out there and I actually have pride. It's kind of a neat thing, so I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, I was going to ask you to help to have you chime in with that and reflect on the statement that Max had made that I read just briefly.
Well, everything there is pretty much, like Ryan said, until you hear the words, you really don't think much about it. But once you hear the words, yeah, that was quite the statement. I'm impressed with it.
What's it been like, the transition from player to umpire?
Well, I think some ways there's some great advantages. You know what it feels like when you, as a batter, and then you're an umpire, you know, the close pitches, sometimes they go 50-50. And not everybody's happy, so you're not going to keep everybody happy. So as a player, I can realize that. So maybe I have a little thicker hide at times, mm-hmm. most of the time, in fact. But
I remember when I was younger, I coached my first Little League game. The toughest part for me, I was in the field. I almost caught a ball that came at me while I was umpiring. I reached for it and realized halfway there that finally, I didn't grab it or anything, but that was the toughest part for me when I umped one game.
As umpires, you know, are you still getting a lot of flack from parents and fans?
I got away from doing the lower level leagues like Little League and Junior League. I got to cut back on some amount of games I've been doing through the years, so I kind of got away from it. For a few years, you'd have some problems, but most of the time they were basically quite okay. You know, parents always want their little Johnny to be the best of everything, and it always don't work out that way. And like Jamie said, you learn life lessons. You're not always going to bat 1,000. You're not going to field 1,000. It's just like life. Things just don't go 100% all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And I only umped a couple games in Little League, so I don't really remember all that much. It was pretty low stress for me. I was umping in the field, so it wasn't too bad.
Mm-hmm. And Jamie, yeah.
From a Wausau youth baseball and softball perspective, I think things are very good right now. We've had some really good seasons, and we haven't had those problems on the field with umpires or parents. So I feel good about our current situation. Most of our umpires are volunteers. So I think as we get the word out, parents need to realize they're volunteering their time. So it's important to keep that game in perspective and make sure they handle themselves appropriately during the game.
You can join the conversation by calling 800-780-9742. If you've played the game of baseball as a kid, if you're coaching or a parent of a player, if you played in the Dairyland League or you're currently playing at some level a fan of baseball, call us at 800-780-9742. Share your stories or ask questions of our guests today. Our guests are Elmer Allen and Ryan Schaefer and Jamie Schaefer. We'll be back right after this.
Well, we searched the Little Leagues through southern Florida. I only scoured through the trees, through the pines of Georgia, way on up into Ohio and over to Watson's Glen. Finally, we found him. He was only 10. Out there in the potato fields at the edge of Idaho, he's just a young boy, but a man could he throw? He threw it 99, if he threw it at all. Out there in that pitcher's mound, he was 10 feet tall. He threw it 99, if he threw it at all. You never saw a boy with such a mean fastball.
Thank you to the business sponsors who help support WPR programs. Businesses like D.B. Reinhardt Institute for Ethics, Access Prosthetics, and Gimme Shelter play a huge role in the success of WPR. Your business can too. More information at WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Wausau's Woodson Art Museum. Summer exhibitions feature 20th century printmaking, from New Deal era lithographs to Andy Warhol's pop art screen prints, on view through August 24th. LYWAM.org.
Saturday summers when I was a kid, we'd run to the schoolyard, and here's what we did. We'd pick out the captains and we'd choose up the teams. It was always a measure of my self-esteem, 'cause the fastest, the strongest played shortstop and first. The last ones they picked were the worst. I never needed to ask. It was sealed. I just took up my place in right field. Playing right field, it's easy, you know. You can be awkward, you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow.
Thanks for joining us today on Route 51. You can call and ask your questions or share a comment about baseball in North Central Wisconsin, your experiences with it as a parent, a player, coach, a fan. 800-780-9742. And I will admit that I did play a lot of right field when I was growing up. Elmer, before you were playing in the Little League, you had mentioned to me on the phone a couple of days ago that you started in the Playground League. Talk about that.
Yeah, back then, every little grade school like G.D. Jones, Franklin, Grant all had Playground Leagues. They'd have a director out there, and you could go there, like I'm thinking, from 9 till noon and play different sports. And, of course, all of us kids congregated there. And occasionally, maybe like once a week, we'd go to another school, get on our bikes and truck on over there and play a game against another grade school. So we always had a little bit of a pride, but nothing was really organized until Little League came in. But the playgrounds was our only outlet at that time. And most of us kids, that was girls and boys. They had girl programs and everything. So and after Little League came in, a few years later, the playgrounds were kind of disbanded. I don't know, for lack of funds or interest. I'm not sure what happened there.
Okay. Jamie, I'd like you to share a story that you brought in a photo of a picture of your father and a team in 1944. Tell us that story.
Okay. I found this photo. Actually, my aunt had it in her group of photos, and she gave it to us. I think it was around the time my father passed away or just shortly before that in 2005. But it was a picture that was taken in 1944 in Milan, Wisconsin, just a small community west of Wausau. And it was a picture of the Milan baseball team at the time. And these were young farm men that worked on their family farms during the day. Some of them had other jobs as well. But on Sunday afternoon, it was time to play baseball. And after we studied the picture, we talked to some other relatives. It became apparent that not only was my father on the team, but my father-in-law was on the team as well. So I tell everybody that my boys had no choice but to become baseball people. It's genetic, and it was built in, and we just carried that on.
That's amazing. And at that time, they had no clue your father and father-in-law to be.
No. Absolutely not.
That is incredible. Let's talk about some of the different leagues that are in central Wisconsin, or throughout the state for that matter, that a lot of people really don't know much about, how they relate to the game of baseball overall, and the differences they, you know, between the leagues and so on. But I know, Ryan, you played both on the American Legion. You played American Legion ball. And you currently play with the Wausau River Hawks
That's
in
great.
The Dairyland League. Talk about that experience and some of the differences between the leagues and your experience overall in playing both.
Well, in high school, it was always a big honor to be asked to play on the Legion team. And it was, for me, I wanted to play because they played 45 games in the summer. And it was doubleheaders, and it was four, five, six games a week. And that's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to work. I didn't want to sit at home. I wanted to play baseball. So after,
see what you're creative.
He's right about that. I can.
After my senior year, it was a huge privilege to be asked to play, and I was really excited about it. And then I played after my first year of college as well. Now after Legion, I believe the rules then were if you were older than 19, you couldn't play. And I believe those are changing. But after that, I was thinking, well, if I'm not going to play college baseball, which I wasn't planning on, I'm going to be stuck playing slow pitch softball, which isn't a bad thing. I still play slow pitch. I love it. But then I discovered the Dairyland League, and I had a friend on the team, and he said, hey, you should come out and play. And I'm like, well, it kind of just sounds like a bunch of old guys playing, and I don't know how I'm going to fit into that. But I came out, and it ended up being really competitive, and I fell in love, and I've been able to play the game I love every summer now since. So when you hear about the Dairyland League, it's not just a bunch of old guys playing ball. There are some older guys, but they can still play, and it is very good competition still. So,
and the Dairyland League consists of 11 teams here in north central Wisconsin, Abbotsford, Everest, obviously Merrill. Now, Merrill is an interesting topic, if you will, the Merrill Rangers. They've been around for a long, long time. And Elmer, I know you've got some thoughts on that team, and I think what their biggest years were back in the late 50s, early 60s?
The early 50s when they really had their heyday, and actually they weren't amateurs. And a lot of the players they'd bring in, and they were actually paid to play. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what kind of stipend they gave them. I'm sure it wasn't like today's wages, but they actually got paid. And there's a good book out. It's called The Rangers Reign, written by Mike Weckworth, and that's available. And that tells the whole history of the Merrill Rangers. It's really interesting reading, especially if you're interested in baseball and amateur level and the rise and fall of their dynasty, so to speak, you know, because I know they went to a couple national tournaments, and they're still a team in the Dairyland League, and they're still called the Merrill Rangers. So that's kind of interesting. They kept their name from years ago.
And the teams that are in the Dairyland League, their histories, they've been around for quite a long time. Most of them, actually, that I've looked at this point in time, Whittlesey Reds. Tell us about them.
Oh, boy, dear. They go back way back. In fact, at one time in Whittlesey, if you go out to Whittlesey, it's basically a ball diamond, some cornfields, and that's pretty much it. But they sure get a good fan support. At one time, they had the Whittlesey Reds and the Whittlesey Whites. So, I mean, nowadays, they always have a real competitive team. That whole area up north by Rib Lake, Spirit, Willacy, they just love their baseball. There's a place called Innerwall. The Diamond no longer plays, is there. They play their games at the Rib Lake Ballpark. And ironically, their nickname is the Innerwall Wood Ticks, so that gets a few laughs too.
Or the Taylor County Sausage. You know?
Yeah, right.
So, Ryan, what's your experience been playing in this league? Has it been everything you've hoped for? Is it a great competition? Tell us a little bit about that.
The competition is as good a competition as I have played against. And like I said before, you wouldn't think that coming in and when you hear about the Dairyland League, it's, well, if you're older than 18, you can play. And there's teams like Whittlesey and Rib Lake and Innerwald. Everybody says, where is that? And I just kind of say there's like five or six teams around Medford. It's the only way people understand, really. But Whittlesey, like we've said, they've been on top of our division or league along with Everest for every year that I've played. And it's just I don't know how they have such great teams with the smaller communities, but they, and like the fans, they're always there. Rib Lake brings 200 people, it seems, when we play there Friday nights. So it's, yeah, the competition is great.
So I'm sorry.
Let me add one thing. If you go players in the Dairyland League, you'll see a lot of Division III players playing college ball. There's a guy I talked to played Division One at UWM. He's now playing for Abbotsford. So, I mean, you get some pretty quality players. I would say, wouldn't you say, Ryan, at least three players on every team is playing some kind of college baseball.
Yeah, we got two or three playing on our team that come back for the summer and are able to play with us. So,
I mentioned in the introduction of the program that towns, you know, back in history, baseball at this level was a big social event.
Mm-hmm.
People came out, like you said, 200 people coming out to the Rib Lake game, and it is the community spirit, community pride kind of thing. Is that still the way, sort of the way it was back at that time? Is that still carry over today?
For some teams, it is. Yeah, I feel like our WASA team is hopefully going to get there at some point,
mm-hmm.
but with the Legion team here and with the Woodchucks, it's kind of tough. We're kind of stuck in the middle. I'm hoping we can get to a point where we have people knowing about us and fans coming to games besides just parents and relatives. But I think that's further down the line. Whittlesey and Rib Lake and Taylor County, they and Spirit and the other teams, they have fans that come and watch, and it's a big deal when they play, it seems.
And, mm-hmm. and the other thing is those communities have their own fields as well. The Riverhawks are using WASA West and WASA East field. We get to play on Athletic Parks field periodically. But that costs money, and we need to take care of that. Every team needs a finance manager, so my wife and I handle that for the Riverhawks, and we're happy to do that, of course.
And the players really appreciate that as well.
But it takes money, and it's important to keep that moving as well.
But is there generally an admission to the Riverhawks games?
No.
There's not.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. So more people need to know about what's going on in the Dairyland League, and I think one of the things that you've started doing, Facebook, you're on there, and great page, and kind of is having fun looking at the photos.
Thank
and such.
You.
And he just came back from a tournament. He kind of got knocked out in the first round. Is that correct? Or
it might have been the end of last year.
Yeah,
end of
last year.
Okay,
yeah.
So that this one coming up.
Yep, in early August is our state tournament.
Okay, and where is that going to be held?
It's four different locations every year, it seems. Last year it was in near La Crosse. They had a location in Rib Lake and a couple others. I don't quite remember, but it's Rib Lake seems to have it every year, a host site every year, and then there's three other ones around the state. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rib Lake will have that every year. They actually bid on it. So you got to have somebody that's going out hustling money to cover all these expenses. It's not like WASA probably could never have it because you have to bid on it, and they don't have any concession sales.
Correct.
So that's what. But the little towns, they all got their concession. Believe me, they do quite well on
it. Oh,
that.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I would imagine. And so how's the team doing this year?
We're doing well. We're 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
We got a couple tough games coming up. This weekend we play Merrill.
Okay.
We always play tough with them. And then next week we play the two top teams besides us right now, Rib Lake on Friday night on the 18th, and then the 19th we play Whittlesey, which is a makeup game. So it's going to be a tough stretch,
okay.
But we're up for it.
And how many games, Elmer, do you generally umpire?
Oh, boy. I've cut back on my Legion. I don't do many Legion games no more or anything like that. I'm doing pretty much the amateur leagues, and I'll probably, for the season with the Rib Lake tournament and some other small tournaments I do, I'll probably do 30 amateur games, which is the game I really love because I think the thing that most people that play it, they want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You got a 30-year-old guy just happy as heck to be playing yet, and you know he's not going to be complaining. He's just happy to be there. For that moment, he might get drafted in the next round, you know.
And Elmer's a tough catch. A couple years ago, it seemed like he umped all of our games, and he was just like, it seemed like he was just waiting around for us to call him, but over the last couple of years when I've been finding umpires, I call Elmer up. I'm like, hey, you available? He's like, actually, I'm in Greenwood this week, or I'm in Spirit this week. So it's all the teams are calling Elmer, and it's
thank you.
It's nice to have him around.
And there's a reason for that,
yes.
Too. I like watching Elmer when he's umpiring because you've got these adults out there. They are good baseball players. They take it very seriously, but so does Elmer. So they'll give him a little bit of grief now and then about a ball or a strike or whatever, and Elmer will listen. But then when it's time to tell them to go and sit down and take the next play, he'll do that. So it's a very good process. I think Elmer's learned that over the years. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I probably have.
We have a link to the Dairyland League on our Facebook page. It's at Route 51 Show. And I would imagine we'd have a link to the Riverhawks and other teams that are out there in the league. Now, this league is part of the Wisconsin Baseball Association, which has approximately six leagues, and approximately 63 teams throughout the state. Now, when we're talking about the championships, those are the teams that you go down and play eventually? Is
yes.
that true in
yeah.
August? Okay.
Yeah. Last year we played Osseo, the mm-hmm. Osseo Merchants in
okay.
Coon Valley. So, and there are several teams at each location, and it depends on your regular season record. I believe you're eligible if you are 500 or above with your record.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I know a couple years ago we played the Eau Claire Bears in the playoffs. Can't quite remember who we played before that, but it's you could play anybody. So.
Okay.
I'll get back to that. Also, there's 32 teams that qualify in four semifinal areas. So there's eight at each area. So it's a one-game elimination.
Okay.
You lose, you're done. So it's hard to go all the way. I played with Wausau back in 67 and 68, and we won back-to-back championships, which is pretty hard to mm-hmm. do. But you got to have a little luck and a little talent. So.
Yep.
We have a note on our Facebook page. I just want to read to you guys. Buzz on Facebook. Great show. Grew up in eastern North Dakota and had amateur teams in lots of small towns in the late 50s and 60s. It was a big part of growing up. He lives in Nakusa now. They used to have amateur teams, but they all seem to have gone by the wayside. Any opportunities for teams to start up?
Well, I think, first of all, you got to have someone grab the bull by the horns, you know, mm-hmm. to get this going. And financially wise, like Wausau's lucky to have Jamie taking care of the finances or, you know, running the organization. If you don't have somebody that wants to do this job, it's not going to work. That's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is.
And it causes pretty stressful winters, I've noticed. This year I kind of took over finding umpires and scheduling makeups and mm-hmm. stuff like that, finding out who can play and who's not going to play. In early March, it looked like I only had seven guys, and obviously that's not enough. So it was getting to the point where it was a pretty stressful winter for me. But when you get the guys and you can get umpires, once the season gets rolling, it works. It mm-hmm. works.
I think you'll find out, Ryan, that at a home game you got 15 guys. You go on the road, you're scruffing for nine.
Yep. That's exactly right.
So are you hopping on a bus, or are you all individually driving?
We meet out at Wausau West, mm-hmm. the Varsity Diamond, and we pack a car or two or three and head out. So, convoy.
Sounds great. Sounds great. Jamie, I'd like to just have you just talk about the heart of baseball. You know, you're a parent, you're a coach, you have that history. You're on the board of directors of the association here in the Wausau area. Obviously, you're a fan. Talk about the heart of baseball.
Well,
from your perspective,
I'm a fan of all baseball. I watch Major League Baseball. My favorite team is the Brewers, of course, but I watch all teams. I love to watch the strategy that's going on during the game. Some people say it's boring. I happen to like all that stuff. I watch what the pitcher is doing. I watch the catcher's signs. I watch what the coaches are doing and who's coming up next. A lot of that, frankly, I learned during Little League. I didn't have the history with the game growing up. I didn't play growing up, but I had some excellent assistant coaches when I coached in Little League. And my favorite time was just sitting in the dugout watching the players and listening to the players and hearing what they're talking about, talking to the assistant coaches and figuring out the next strategic move, things like that. I really enjoyed that. So I think it's just a way for young people to get together, play an organized sport, or unorganized. In our backyard at home, we did this every day. I would have a glove on one hand and a bat in the other, and I'd put the boys out in the yard, and I would just toss the ball up with the glove hand, hit it with the bat, and they would make a catch. And if it was a good enough catch, every now and then I would call it a catch of the day. So the boys, my three boys, that was their goal. If they got a catch of the day, that was a big deal.
And that was the highlight of our day and week, it seemed, was going in the backyard and Dad just hitting us grounders and fly balls. And it got to the point where we were laying up on a fly ball and diving at the end on purpose just to try to get this catch of the day. It was a serious thing.
Did you get one when you did that?
No, most definitely not. No.
It wasn't good.
He knew.
Didn't they get a Dairy Queen if they had the catch of the day?
No, we never did that.
I don't think so.
Okay. Might want to think about
it. Yeah,
that.
Definitely. Yeah.
You know, when my boys were growing up, my youngest switched from baseball to soccer, and again, it was every night we were in the backyard kicking the ball around and running up and down the yard, and eventually he beat me every single game that we played. So good memories, and it's certainly a strong bond between family members doing that kind of thing. And Ryan, tell us about your experience, more about the growing up and the catch of the day and what that meant to you and still means to you.
Well, and like Elmer was talking about before, when we weren't playing the organized leagues, I was still playing neighborhood games just in front and backyards. I remember playing when I was 8 and 9 years old. I was playing with 12-year-olds around the neighborhood. And I'd say, "Hey, I'm heading over to whoever's house. We're gonna play some baseball." And you know, it'd get dark out, and we'd still play for a little while, and we'd play till we couldn't anymore. So just like Elmer was talking about, we found a way to play even when we weren't playing in Little League or T-ball or whatever. We still found a way to play, and I think that just the unorganized was almost more fun and more exciting than actually playing in the organized ones. So
that rock is first base, and
yeah, exactly.
We threw
frisbees down for bases, or
I walk a lot all over town. I'm a walker. I just love walking, and it's rare for me to run into any kind of a backyard game going on nowadays. I can't remember the last time I seen two young lads out there playing catch. I don't remember the last time. So that has fallen by the wayside. I don't know what these kids are doing all day. Mm-hmm. You know.
I know it's growing up the same thing. You know, we'd be playing catch or hitting the ball or getting a pickup game in the neighborhood too. And I agree. I've not seen the same thing. How do we get kids more involved with getting out of the house or doing something and playing baseball? You know, how do we bring that back to our communities?
If it's not organized, I don't think they're doing it. You know, if you had somebody organize their lives, I guess. I don't know.
Well, and from a numbers perspective, for several years we saw the numbers going down with Wausau Youth Baseball. I shared with you the 50th anniversary book. In 2003, I believe we had almost 1,200 children in the not all children. It was ages 5 through 18 in the Wausau area in our teams. And just this last year we had almost 900. So the numbers are a little lower. However, we're seeing an increase at the T-ball age, the 4 and 5 year olds. For a couple of years, we had 4 or 5 teams. The last 2 years, we had 10. So there are a lot of kids out there that are joining our leagues now. I think we're getting our name out better, and parents are interested in getting their children into these organized activities, and I think that's helping our numbers too.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned soccer. How has that affected in recruiting for baseball?
I think in general, kids are being asked to do more specialized sports at younger ages, so it's mm-hmm. always tough to fit everything together. I think we do a good job at Wausau Youth Baseball and with the Wausau Area Youth Soccer. Baseball activities are typically earlier in the year, and then soccer is typically later in the year. For those kids that want to do both, they can do both. So I think we're very accommodating that way.
Mm-hmm. Elmer?
Yeah, I would kind of agree with that. It's more of one specialty sport, either basketball, football, or baseball. And unfortunately, a lot of good baseball players, they don't pursue it any farther when they get to a certain age because they want to specialize in a different sport. So that's gone are the days when you could win 12 letters in high school. Them days aren't going to happen no more, you know.
Mm-hmm. And Ryan, how are you working with players on the freshman team? How are you instilling that, specializing, or are you encouraging them to do other things as well?
Oh, we're always encouraging them to play more sports. And we know now, especially at the high school level, over the summer, these kids are out of the house for 9 hours a day. They got 2 hours of football, and then they go to basketball, and then they go lift, and then they got more football or more basketball. It's wild. It really is. It really is. I don't know how they do it. I really don't. But I encourage all my players I don't want to say you have to play baseball, because you can learn a lot of stuff from basketball and football that's going to help you with baseball as well. So we're always encouraging them to play other sports. Now, having said that, we're losing a lot of players as well to track, because they want to, and that's not a bad thing, but we're losing a lot of players to track so they can get ready for football or for basketball, which, like I said, is fine, but it's kind of tough sometimes.
Jamie, what's your first memory of the game?
Oh, boy. If it was baseball, it would have to be taking Ryan out to his first T-ball game and volunteering as a coach and just seeing all the kids there. For softball, it would be me at home after church on Sundays in our front yard with my dad being the all-time pitcher and my 9 brothers and sisters dispersed out in the yard trying to make plays. So and taking turns batting. So that was my first memory of the game.
Elmer?
Probably my first memory is, like I said earlier in the show, that I lived right about a block below the ballpark. I actually lived in a coal yard. My dad ran the coal yard down there, so whenever the Wausau Lumberjacks, which was a Class D affiliation team, minor league team, was playing, we'd be up there trying to sneak into the park. Of course, we didn't have any money. Hey, mind you, in them days, the knothole gang, all you needed was 9 cents. We couldn't even come up with that. And then as the summer progressed, we'd raid gardens. I feel bad about that now, but we loved those fresh carrots. That's probably my first memories of, you know, the love of the game.
Ryan, what about you?
I don't know if I can top that, but my first memory is just in our basement swinging around the plastic bat and I don't know how I remember that, because I don't remember much from when I was 3 or 4 years old, but I remember carrying that, like a club, carrying the club around and dragging it around and then swinging as hard as I could.
I know your mom remembers that because she told us not to do that a lot.
We're talking with Jamie and Ryan Schaefer and also Elmer Allen about baseball here in central and north central Wisconsin. Not just about the game itself, but the love of the game. You know, why is it so appealing? What's the heart of the game to you as a listener, as a fan? Is it listening to Bob Uecker do the play-by-play, which is one of my favorite pastimes? Is it a memory that you had back when you were a kid or your child was playing? Call us at 800-780-9742 or send us a note on Facebook at Roof 51 Show. We'll be right back.
Little boy in a baseball hat stands in the field with his ball and bat. Says, I am the greatest player of them all. Puts his bat on his shoulder and he tosses up his ball. And the ball goes up and the ball comes down, swings his bat all the way around. The world's so still you can hear the sound. The baseball falls to the ground.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Stevens Point Area Co-op, Peninsula Music Festival, and Import Auto Clinic. You too can help ensure the future of WPR with your business sponsorship. Find out more at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Greenwood Hills Country Club, Wausau, helping the community one round at a time with Make a Difference Mondays, a day open for all golfers to enjoy a round of golf while benefiting a Wausau area charity. Details at greenwoodhillscc.com.
The first thing I remember is the game that I love, a man on a diamond with the golden glove. Daddy with me in the cheap seats above, saying, boy, keep your eye on the ball. The crack of the bat, the stadium's roar, we were up on our feet for the tie-breaking score. I said, Daddy, I know what you brought me here for. He said, good, I hope you'd hear the call. Life's a fastball, stand there and let it go by. Swing hard and aim for the stand.
Welcome back to Route 51. I'm Rick Ryer, sitting in for Glenn Moberg this week, and we're talking baseball. Backyard baseball, organized baseball, and just having fun with the game. We're talking with Ryan Schaefer, Jamie Schaefer, and Elmer Allen. Ryan, I wanted to talk with you about your brothers and the experience you have now or the experiences you've had regarding any potential or possible rivalries between the three of you?
Yeah, well, I'm sure anybody with siblings knows that if you play the same sport or different sports, you're going to have that rivalry, and you always want to you always want to beat your younger brothers, especially for me anyway. I have two younger brothers, and you always want to – there's no mercy, really, either. But when we were younger, I was never really on the same team as my younger brothers. When I was 12, Tyler and I played on the same Little League team. He was 9, I was 12. One of my fondest memories, actually, was one game I pitched, and he played shortstop, and together we made all 18 outs. So that was pretty neat. We didn't need anybody else, really. We don't need to get into specifics of that at all, but it was pretty cool. That's one of my fondest memories. But back to the rivalry. Now that we're playing together on the same team, I've learned some boundaries. As a player coach type person, I like to help out my fellow teammates. If I see something they might need some assistance with, I'll give them a tip. With Tyler and Dustin, I've learned I can't do that. About 3 years ago, I tried to assist one of my brothers, giving them a tip on their swing, and it turned out I was the one doing something wrong. So, I mean, that's kind of, I'm sure as anybody knows, with a brother or sister, that's kind of how it goes. But, no, we're always trying to outdo each other. I know Dusty's batting a lot higher than both Tyler and I this year, so we're trying to catch up to him, but it's great to see. It's great to play with them. It's all rivalries aside, it's just a pleasure to play with both of them.
You made the 18 outs, the two of you in one game.
Yes.
Set that up. I didn't need to hear that story.
Well, I was 12 and I was pitching and Tyler was playing shortstop. I normally played short when I wasn't pitching, so. He was playing and I ended up having my best game pitching. I had 15 strikeouts and then I had a ground ball that I made out to it first. Tyler had a pop up and a ground ball as well. So together we made all 18 outs. So it's pretty neat.
Did you see that, Jamie?
I probably did, but I don't remember.
Yeah, of course he doesn't. Yeah. No.
There's so many games I was coaching. I mean, I remember really great games where the boys did well, but honestly, I don't remember details of games like that. It's mm-hmm. unfortunate. That reminds me of something that I read recently in the book If You Build It by Dwyer Brown. He was the dad from the Field of Dreams movie.
Okay.
And he wrote a book about the Field of Dreams movie. And he put a quote in there that said, "My dad taught me everything I know. It's just too bad he didn't teach me everything he knew." And it was actually a quote by Al Unser. But I thought,
where'd you get that book?
Oh, that was a Father's Day gift.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Nice job, Brian.
Elmer, do you have a particular memory that stands out in either as a player or any position that you've done in baseball, anything that stands out for you?
Well, I played baseball. Actually, I was a pitcher until I was 45 years old. I think one of my most satisfying seasons I had, and I had some great seasons through the years, when I was at 45, I was playing with the Wausau team. And here I'm on the mound. I got gray hair, you know, and I'm probably thinking I'm throwing that ball in there 85, 90 miles an hour, but probably coming in at 70. And I'd go up against college players, you know, and every now and then I'd strike one out, and they'd just look. They didn't like that, you know, that old guy striking them out. So I have some fond memories of that last season I played.
That's funny. Well, we talked a little, you know, I said we weren't going to talk about the major leagues, but, you know, let's talk a little bit from each of your perspective, not just specifically a team or a player or whatever it may be, but, you know, how do you feel the major leagues are leading the sport to encourage others to play it? We'll start, Jamie, why don't you start with that?
Well, I think major league games are a little more televised. They're a little more accessible, whether it's on the computer or going to games directly or watching them on TV. There are some bad things happening, obviously, that have been televised and publicized with some of the things that the players are doing with performance-enhancing drugs and things like that. So that takes away from it. But in general, it's still underlying is the game of baseball, and it's the strategy and the players, and the people that are interested in the game will be interested in the major league teams, and they'll follow them. And I think there's a lot of things going on good with the game as well.
One thing I encourage my freshman baseball players and all players that I talk to is watch as many major league games as you can. whether it's to root, to cheer for a team or whatever, you can learn something new every game you watch. No game is exactly the same. If you watch a game, you're going to learn something. And that's what I think some players are lacking nowadays, is they don't take the time to sit and watch a baseball game and think about what's going on and think about what's happening. But I encourage everyone to just watch and learn something from each game.
My thoughts on it are, Major League Baseball, sometimes the games get too drawn out and too long. If you're a pure baseball fan, sometimes it's difficult. I watch the Brewers, don't get me wrong, but it's difficult to watch the whole game. Everybody's a specialist now. When was the last time someone threw a complete game? Now you go back in Warren Spahn's day, he'd have 30 complete games in a season. I think the game has changed dramatically in that aspect, and good or bad, I don't know, like jury's probably out on it.
Well, unlike baseball, time's up for this edition of Route 51. Thank you to our guests, Elmer Allen, Jamie Schaefer, and Ryan Schaefer, for riding along with us today. Thank you to our on-air producer, Jane Ritger, and John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music this week came from Randy Edelman, Harry Hildebrand, Peter Paul and Mary, Kenny Rogers, Corey Smith, and the Leonard Lotham Band. Glenn will be back next week. Until then, I'm Rick Ryer, and we're heading out of town.